Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Got two giants in the area of mental illness. Both of them have exceeded all expectations. Chris Williams and Mylon Yurkovich right here.
having struggled with my own.
Yeah, there you go.
And popped out on the other side to some level.
Well, I'm just glad my expectations were low.
Well, I just don't want people to think that we haven't struggled with issues.
Yeah,
you know, true. I grew up in a highly fearful, anxious home, and it carried with me because children absorb the emotional atmosphere of the home.
And so I
carried that forward, and I've been working that out my whole life.
Yeah. And like every animal, we're creatures of adaptation, and to not understand our adaptation is really, really dangerous, because whatever is negative in our adaptation, we're going to bring into our adulthood in all of our interactions.
Now, say that in English. first of all, we're not animals. Number two, what does adaptation mean?
Well, adaptation means that we adjust to the environment that we're
aha.
in.
Or we, what do you mean adjust to it?
We learn to survive in it.
Okay, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what we're doing to survive. My wife and I, we're breaking up, not with each other, but like I've never written a Dear John letter, but I got to break up with Dear Jimmy John letter. And she's breaking up with two men, Ben and Jerry. You just make crummy choices in the midst of like what we're going through, and we're going to make better choices. We're still going to date Sarah Lee, but all the rest, we're going to really try to make changes. And I think that's one of the things that either this virus could make you or break you. If you see stuff in your relationship with your wife or husband coming up, or patterns or behaviors that you didn't know were there, do something about it. I mean, that's the gift, that you ended up with enough stress, pressure, or strain that you finally said, okay, it's time to do something, versus try to find deeper, richer ways to deny the reality that's there. That's what we don't want to do. Now, if you want to join us today, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. I'm going to go to the phones right now with Larry, Washington, D.C., WAVA. How you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. Your phone is breaky, achy, breaky there. Any reason for
dear.
That? Yeah. If you're on a strange thing, are you on a headphone or speakerphone or anything like that?
No, sir. Just regular
now,
phone.
Now you sound a little better. What's the question for us?
Just how to overcome shame, unrealistic shame. And avoid a deep parental void. I had to kind of step away from both of my parents because they were emotionally unhealthy, and it was just tearing down my self-esteem.
All right. I think we can help you with that. And also, let me mention this. 5:00 Eastern time, I'm doing a series on shame. And it's such a huge, huge problem. I don't know how long this series is going to last. This may become the shame hour. I don't know. But it's 5 o'clock on Facebook Live. You can see it on YouTube also. And I hope it's going to help some people. It'll help you. But we'll give you some of our insight into shame. And I'm really glad you called. I don't know of anything that plagues more people than shame. It really is tough. And sometimes we create it ourselves. Many times we do not. All right, we'll take this break. We'll come right back. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to talk with you. Come join us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We got Larry on the line. But before we go to Larry and talk about shame, I just want to mention this weekend, Intimacy in Marriage. It's on Saturday. And I'm telling you, I was just talking about stuff coming up to the surface. Well, many of you didn't realize how much was right under the surface in your marriage. And boy, do we ever need each other more, and yet we're running each other off. So we could really help you with that. Mylon and Kay Yurkovich and myself are going to be there. And you can sign up right now and come and join us. We would love, love for you to be part of Intimacy in Marriage Intensive. Sign up this Saturday. It will never be more or never be easier to get to be part of. It'll never, ever be so accessible. You don't have to travel. And I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. It is a game changer. Anything you want to say about it, Mylon?
Well, I agree with you. It is a fabulous weekend when we have our three-day intensive. Mm-hmm. But this this one-day event is life-changing, Steve, because we cover almost the same amount. They go into groups with therapy groups and therapists mm-hmm. and other couples. And it is life-changing. We are so impressed with what we share, Steve, is the non-obvious things that really affect relationships.
Right.
You do that. Kay and I do that. And non-obvious things are things people aren't aware of. They don't know they exist, and they don't know what the boat anchor is around their ankle that keeps drowning them. So that's one of the things we're going to be helping them with, which we had to learn ourselves, by the way.
Yep. So whether it's a big thing or you have a little thing, we will help you with it. You'll be better. And you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can still get in. But now let's talk to Larry. Shame. You want to start us off here, Chris, and then we'll go to Mylon on shame. He's got it. It's inappropriate. It's hurting him. What's our best on shame?
Well, I'm so glad that Larry called and started us off this way, because shame is a pretty much universal. And so he's talking about his parents, and oftentimes shame gets passed down generation to generation, and the pain and shame that we don't deal with, we end up off-putting on our children. I love that Larry has taken actions to say, no, I'm setting boundaries around this. But I want to start with this. We started the show with expectation, and to be honest, there's a lot of different directions we can go. But what happens oftentimes is if we have unrealistic expectations for ourselves, we have this idealized version of who we should be, and then we have this real version that gets up out of bed every day. And in between those, that space, oftentimes if we use the ideal against the real, what ends up happening, we have a lot of shame. We also use shame or these negative messages about ourselves to try to improve. And it may have an initial bump, but then it has diminishing returns. It ends up hurting us in the end. So I say all of this because I want to start with expectations, because I believe the ultimate antidote to shame is grace. And grace starts with acceptance, and not acceptance of the ideal, but acceptance of the real. How can I accept who I am and how I woke up this morning? I don't have to agree with it, and I shouldn't, where there's things that are really off or sinful patterns in me, but I'm just accepting it as an is. And then, and Mylon can speak really deeply into this, how do I connect that with other people around me that can provide accurate reflections, accurate mirrors, to tell me where I'm okay and to even tell me where I'm off, but do it in a way that can be loving towards improvement rather than shaming towards just feeling worse about myself.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you a specific question, Mylon. You know, of course, shame can be because we fail at something, you know, business goes under or something, and you feel shame. Or there's, your kids get in trouble, and now you feel ashamed. But But sometimes parents put shame into kids, and they set off into the world feeling less than. Let's talk about that kind of shame from early on. Here's an extreme. You'll never amount to anything. Oh, my goodness. What the IQ of a parent that says that must be zero. So let's talk about parental pain, shame that comes from our parents.
Well, here's where I distinguish, and I appreciate what both of you have already said. But I distinguish between shame and ashamed. Ashamed is when I do something that I should feel bad about, and that's called guilt. And we have a conscience. And so if I violate something that is God's will or my standards for my own life, let's say, that's called ashamed. But he asked about shame. And shame is usually imposed on someone by others. So to Chris's point, this idealized view of what I should be. The child doesn't grow up with an idealized view of perfection. The parents impose that upon them. And the word shame is really, I feel as though I'm bad or flawed. Mm-hmm. And as one therapist put it, I love this guy's definition, what began as a we as I got older became a me. So the we is mom and dad with the child, always holding over the child's head, you must do it better or you're stupid, or I can't tell you the things I've heard in my office over the years. And so it is imputed upon the child, actually, by parental malalignment and sin and their own distortions. And what Larry needs to do is he needs to just do and focus on what Chris says, which is to focus on what's realistic. I can count on failing every day at something. And I don't feel shame about it. I just know I'm going to fall short. And yeah, I know I'm going to have joys every day too, Steve. And so I'm going to have both. And so I want to balance that out. And then one thing I did, and I'll close with this, to overcome the shame that I grew up with, because I got shame on you all the time with the finger wag, was I learned to tell people when I made mistakes or did something silly or stupid, I'd tell stories on myself of how I failed so I wouldn't have to hide to protect this idealized public facade. I could tell others and I could adjust to realistic expectations for myself.
That's amazing.
Well, it was hard to learn, but it worked because I don't feel shame.
So maybe the first step is to identify, Is this thing I feel a setup by my parents, either with higher expectations than I could ever fulfill, or just the messages that I'm less than or worthless? Okay, so that's one kind. Or maybe I am involved in something that I need to quit doing.
Right.
That this is a great thing. I still have a conscience, and it's saying, fix it, buddy. Okay, so I do that. Or, you know, maybe it is something that I did, but I've never accepted forgiveness for it. So I've already changed it, but I've got this residual shame going around. I know what that's like. Yeah. You know, everybody knows, I think, that listens, that I paid for or pressured a young woman to have an abortion. Well, you know, just this past week, I was in Gillette, Wyoming, at a women's resource center helping them raise money. So I get up there and I tell this story, and because they're starting a men's ministry, because every abortion, I don't know if you've ever figured this out, has one or two men involved with it. It could be the boyfriend, the husband, a doctor, a minister, a counselor, all of that. But every time I go through it, there is some residual shame. You know, you just can't relive something like that without it. And so I have to kind of get myself back in order. And I do. But still, I know what it's like to have done something, accept God's forgiveness for it, but then you get triggered back into it every now and then. So here's one thing. If I need to find the source so that I can deal with the source. I think I need to find somebody to talk to about that source. Therapist, sponsor, mentor, friend, pastor. I can't keep this secret anymore, which he didn't, which is wonderful. So I need to be talking about this. And then the third thing, I think we need to, you need to, like whatever your picture is of yourself, shame puts a kind of a dark gray over it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you ought to paint a different picture of yourself and see what that would look like. What would you be doing? What would you be feeling? Because if we don't ever see, if we don't have a vision for ourselves, then we're not going to get there. So that's my best today. And like I said, I'll give you some more on this if you join me for going deeper at 5 o'clock. But I do have a great book. It's the Emotional Freedom Workbook that I'm going to send Larry. And that book has four different dilemmas in it. And one of them is shame. And it'll really help you have freedom over that shame.
Could I say one more thing?
Please.
Well, thank you so much. Sometime this last year, we were asked to be on Henry Cloud's Facebook podcast or whatever the case. I think it was a podcast of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about boundaries. And I said to the producer, I said, we're going to do something that has not been on your show. I guarantee that. Because Henry's all about boundaries. And I said, we have to create boundaries with our past, with our history.
Yeah.
In Larry's point, you know, he said he had to distance from his parents because they're emotionally unhealthy. And that's where we have to really create boundaries and say, I'm not going to let my past continue to encroach and invade on my present life.
Yeah.
I'm going to get angry at the very thing that was destructive to me. I'm not going to harm the people back there, but I'm going to become angry and grieve and be sad at that history. And then I'm going to ask every single day, what is driving the bus today, my history or me today, the realistic current, the guy that woke up?
Yeah.
And I'm going to say no to my history. And the producer said, "Yeah, we've never heard that before." And but it's very important.
Yeah,
it's critical to what Larry said, and I just think we have to consider that as an important piece.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Absolutely. So you heard it here, and I just think it's brilliant. You simply must set a boundary with shame, with past relationships that are destructive, and you know when they. Some trigger pops them back up in your brain, you just need to walk them right out of your brain.
Right.
Just get them out of there and say, nope, not today, buddy. You're not going to control me.
You have to recognize a history and say, my history created this, not me.
Yeah,
and
that's
right. I'm going to say no to that. And I love your point, Steve. We have to consciously walk our way out of it every single time.
Yeah, we do.
Great point.
There was a young woman that we worked with for a long time. And she said, I am the least valuable person in the entire world, my category. I said, well, what is your category? I'm a rape baby.
Oh,
wow.
And so she says, even Christians will say, well, you shouldn't abort a child. Well, of course, unless they're a product of rape. So she would hear those messages.
Oh.
And since she was a product of rape, then she viewed herself as optional.
Wow.
Versus everybody else, it's okay for them to be born, but hey, even us.
Wow.
Well, I got to tell you, that's a pretty tough thing to overcome.
It's horrible.
It is horrible.
So we believe everybody is valued by God and has a wonderful, wonderful place, no matter what you've been through. 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us right here. Let's go to Mary, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing.
Well, we are just having a lot of problems with our phone today, everybody. And it's not the caller, it's us. And so we'll try, when we go to a break, we'll try to reboot it and see if we can't get a better line in here. Let's see if we can hear you. Mary, what's troubling you today?
I'm calling in because I'm lost as to my next step to take with my husband. He has a problem with porn and masturbation, and since I found out that this is still going on, I thought it was done 2 years ago, but it's also now going on consistently at and after work, and there's just been a lack of evident remorse and change from him.
Okay.
And we have two young girls.
Oh, boy.
They're 1 and 2, and because of the consistent lies, manipulation, and gaslighting since I called him out about the porn a couple weeks ago, we've counselor's insight, I've removed ourselves from the home. Mm-hmm. And we've been away for over a week now, and there's still very little evidence of repentance or growth.
Yeah.
And he's...
Okay, hold on. We're going to help you.
Out.
I'm glad you called. We'll be back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Oh, boy. Okay, well, we've been talking about this, Mary. And I was just talking to the guys about this lying thing. And a guy is probably going to lie until he doesn't have a choice anymore. In other words, your separation, you making sure he knows you're serious, that this can't go on like this. Mm-hmm. You want to stay on that path. But here's the other thing. Have you said to him anything about, here's what you could do to win back my heart or to get us back on the same path we were on? Have you done anything like that, said anything?
Yeah, I've said things like just starting to be honest going forward, because there's been lies about now other stuff too, to the point of a drained bank account on food being eaten out, missing time after work, and that half hour that he's been lying about after work as well.
Okay, when you started to describe him, when you started to describe him against mm-hmm. what I would normally do, I was thinking, well, this isn't just a pornography problem. This is a character problem. Mm-hmm. A deep character problem that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Mylan and see if he could give you some great instruction. And then, Chris, what's your best mm-hmm. hope here in dealing with this? And I'm really glad you called about this because, as you know, there are a lot of women struggling with this with their husband.
Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling today. I appreciate your call. No matter what the addictions are and what the problems are in a marriage, including lying, et cetera, and all the things that you mentioned, I always encourage couples to, and please turn down your radio if you would. I always encourage couples to look at their core pattern of what's happening in the marriage. Not that that's an excuse, but I always have to ask, am I contributing anything to this relationship that could be improved? So we always want to stay open to that. You mentioned gaslighting, mm-hmm. which means he's blaming you in some mm-hmm. respects, and mm-hmm. I certainly want to respect that. But I also want to, as I do with every couple, ask the question, what do each of us bring mm-hmm. to the relationship? But, you know, I said to the guys at the break, you know, no pain, no gain. If he doesn't feel pain, he will not gain any positive growth. And so to create distance from him and really tell him he has to earn you guys back, to create with a history of lies that encompass other aspects of bank accounts. And that's embezzlement. I mean, he's taking money from you that jointly belongs to both of you. So he's stealing too. And so to even set up, if you will, Mary, a restraining order, a formal separation that says you need help if you want to earn us back, but I have to protect myself. You're taking money from me, and then any debts you incur are a liability to me as well. So I can't trust you, so I have to do something to protect myself. Now, this isn't a divorce, but it's a boundary that says, as of the line of the date of this thing, we're creating a line in the sand to protect myself and the girls, because I have no idea what else you're going to take away from us. And I think you really need to get tough with somebody like that.
Now, I want to mention this, and then Chris, but I would just say this, a little reality check. The man you married, it's not this man. Now, it might have been, but you didn't see it. But the guy you thought he was, it's not this guy. So a lot of times women will not do anything or follow through because, I love him so much. Well, okay, fine. But this isn't the guy you fell in love with. This is a version of that guy. And this guy can become that guy. Mm-hmm. He can get that back, but not lying, not cheating, not stealing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to really be tough. This is a, you know, a lot of times guys just have one problem. It's a pornography problem, because their phone, they didn't know it was going to be available, and they get tripped up and all this stuff. But this guy, he needs a redo in a lot of areas. Chris, what are you thinking here?
Well, guys, I'm going to go at this from the information you've given us, Mary. We're talking about unaccountable money, food, mm-hmm, time, mm-hmm. Two daughters at home. Mm-hmm. We're talking about something that he had in his life long before he knew your name. And so I want to make that's clear. This is a long-rooted pattern that shows unbelievable amounts of painful strength. And that it is going to take a lot of work on his part. I think that you can be strong in your boundaries, honest to your anger, and I'm going to add this in here, compassionate to his struggle, not excusing of it at all. But he is mm-hmm. going to need to get into... He's going to need to go to Every Man's Battle. He's going to need to get into a group. And he's going to need to start getting into therapy that's mm-hmm. going to address his childhood wounds. Mm-hmm. This guy is carrying a tremendous amount of pain, hidden pain in the world, that he is medicating and acting out through his sexual behavior. And you absolutely and your daughters need protection from that. So I want you to heed this advice really, really strongly and take it to heart and take action on it. And also understand what he's going to need to do to get better, to find the healing and growth and recovery that he needs to take care of this problem in his life. And by the way, if he doesn't, it will never
That's
magically go away.
He's not... pursuing the counseling and things that I'm encouraging him to get that he needs.
Okay. Well, here's what we got to go from encouraging to demanding. And you just say this. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's how this starts. You call New Life. You go to Every Man's Battle. We'll pick it up from there.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening... I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking tough here. Not because we think this guy is all bad. He's just in an all bad state right mm-hmm. now, where he's really making mistake after mistake. God is rich in mercy and in grace, and if he would just respond to a nudge in the right direction, everything can fall back in place. And that's what we want to see happen here. Just fall right back in place. So, Mary, I would suggest that you literally demand that this begins by him going to Every Man's Battle. I'm going to send you a copy of Worthy of Her Trust mm-hmm. and the new edition of the revised Every Man's Battle. And I think that's going to help. And I think you follow up Every Man's Battle with a great counselor, and he goes to the Sustained Victory Group, which is part of it, and this thing can be turned around. But look, here's the bottom line. You tell your husband that you're concerned about pornography, banking, all this stuff, and he tries to defend himself or deny it versus, wow, that must be horrible if that's what you think I'm doing. In other words, the defense versus the compassion kind of tells you what is real and what isn't. 1-800-229-3000. That is our phone number here. And let's go to Ellen, Orlando, Florida, WTLN. How are you, Ellen? How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. What's happening in your life?
I have a question about what God thinks about plastic surgery.
Are you considering it, or have you had it, or are you concerned about somebody that had it?
No, I am considering it.
Okay. And what are you going to have done? I'm just curious.
It's a breast augmentation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, I'll start by saying that it's a given that when some of these plastic surgeons go overseas and they take a child that has a gaping hole in their upper lip or their jaw or whatever, or they've got a big growth there, that absolutely that is one of the greatest gifts ever when that is done. So plastic surgery at that level is absolutely wonderful. I think there's some other reasons that plastic surgery is wonderful also, but I'll just go to Chris and mine. What do you? We might all disagree on this, but we might not. But what do you guys think?
Well, Steve, I think you hit something really important, and that is what is the reason and motivation for it? Because to be honest, I don't know what God thinks of it. And Ellen, you're talking about something that is deeply personal, also something that is deeply particular to your gender. So I want to recognize that I'm a male speaking into this particular issue.
It is not particular to her gender, Chris. I don't want to shock you, buddy, but it isn't particular.
Well, I was speaking of like the breast augmentation part of it.
Okay. Well, I think guys have reduction.
Definitely. So,
but go ahead. Sorry to interrupt, I just wanted to say the breast augmentation. I've never known a man to ever.
There's a lot of variables that go into this. But Ellen, I think asking the question why, and is this trying to fulfill something that could be fulfilled in another way? Is this trying to make up for something that a plastic surgery may not fulfill? I oftentimes say it like this. I call it the OCD syndrome, and that stands for Orange County Disorder. And that is oftentimes here in Orange County, California, I see people having a broken engine, meaning a broken heart, and them doing something cosmetic. Like I say, you know, you can't paint a car a new color and expect the engine to break. And I just want to make sure that that's not what we're doing here, is that we're not addressing a heart issue with a cosmetic solution. And that's what would be my concern. Other than that, I just think, like Steve was saying, what's the motivation behind it? And, you know, the medical advances we've had in the world have done tremendous good.
Now, before Mylon goes on this, I got to tell you, one of the great blessings of my life was, you know, I was extremely overweight, but not like a lot of people. And some folks who are morbidly obese, they lose the weight. They literally have to have a plastic surgeon do some work with the excess skin, or they're miserable. It actually can be painful. But for me, I had some residual flapping skin that I asked a guy to just take it off. You know, it wasn't actually on my face. But it was, it was down below my neck and all this. And I was so grateful that it could be done because it was a distraction. You know, I look like a turkey out there. And as a communicator, I just didn't want it around. So I have benefited greatly from the art of plastic surgery. Mylon, your thoughts?
Well, Ellen, I don't know that God has an opinion on this any more than he has an opinion on having my appendix out. You know, 2,000 years ago, people would die because their appendix would rupture. And there's nothing about airplanes in the Bible. And all the things we're used to in the technology, there's nothing about cell phones in the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you know, Chris is absolutely right. It's, why do I want this? And perhaps it's to be noticed. It's to attract attention, to You know, you have to ask that question. It's about the heart, as Steve and Chris have already said. And I think that's the biggest question. I know a woman who had, and there's other procedures that can be done besides plastic surgery, where they can actually move bones in your face. It's called orthognathic surgery, and they can actually change your facial features. And I know a woman who had some things done like that, and then she was all of a sudden very attractive, and she didn't know what to do with the attraction that she got, and she went off the rails with all the attention she was getting, and it completely ruined her life. Now, she went from one extreme to the other. And so we just have to be careful with, you know, what we're trying to do. And again, what am I hoping will happen? Is it about me feeling a little bit better about myself, looking a little bit better in a bathing suit? Or am I trying to attract attention? And a lot of people do these things because they're trying to keep themselves looking a certain age. I had the bags taken out from underneath my eyes. Ellen, so, you know, I think, you know, we can do things from time to time that are helpful. And again, I'm on camera a lot too, so that's why I do those kinds of things. Plus, my wife thinks I look cuter. So, you know, when she thinks I look cuter, that's great. So, you know, I think we just have to use good judgment here. And I'm glad you called because it's a great question. A lot of people ask it.
Yeah. And here's another thing. I know of three very committed Christians that are plastic surgeons. They believe that they are helping in a really special way. And one of these guys, I mean, he has just one of the most spiritual people ever. He's got a little chapel where he can get away. So I'm just saying, you know, I don't want to ever question his calling. He believes that, I mean, and that he is amazing. So I don't want to just discount right off the bat that this is ever a wrong thing. Mm-hmm. But what, Ellen? What? Why do you want to have it done? Just curious. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, I think it was the wrong motivation, you know, for a long time, and then I hit menopause, and then basically it pretty much shrank to nothing, and it's a, you know, it's a real. Hang up for I have a very hard time finding, you know, clothes to fit because, you know, there's nothing there to attach things to, per se. So,
see, I think that's, Ellen, I think that's a reason to say I would be more comfortable and I would have, life would be better for me. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. I can understand why you might. That makes perfect sense to me. What do you think, Steve?
I actually know a pastor's wife that is. She had that done, and that was why. It was a problem in every way you could possibly imagine, and so I just think it's easy to judge, but. Sometimes an adjustment like that changes everything.
Absolutely. And Ellen is so brave. I love her honesty and that she would talk to us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, I think there's a lot of freedom in this area. We just want to check in with the wise and have some trusted people along the journey with us.
And then we always remind ourselves that no one thing changes everything. And so we have to be realistic about the benefit. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I want to remind you, you can still sign up for intimacy in marriage. And I'm telling you, these kind of issues can be dealt with if you're on each other's side. It's an online workshop. It's this weekend, October the 24th. Every Man's Battle is November the 7th. And then Restore. Oh, so many of you women, I know, you know what? I was just reading an article about how shame keeps us from asking for help.
Mm-hmm,
we're
mm-hmm.
ashamed to call. If you can work through the shame of thinking nobody's as bad as me, whatever, they're not going to understand, you will have freedom here by going to Restore. And then on the 5th, we're doing this special Brains, Boundaries, Battles, and the Bible. And how does all this work together? You get the organ working right, you set your boundaries, you protect yourself from the battles, and it's all founded on the Bible. And John Townsend, Henry Cloud, Sheila Walsh, Daniel Amen, and myself will all be doing that together. And then don't forget on Thursdays, the new program, Life Recovery Today, 11 o'clock Eastern Time on the NRB Network. Well, let's go here. And I want to, how about we talk with Carla from Clarksville, Indiana, just up the road from me, or down, WFIA. Carla, how are you today?
Yes, I'm doing fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, we've had a little problems with our phones, but we're hearing you all right here. Talk slowly if you can. How can we help you? You're our final caller today.
Oh, awesome, awesome. I just need help. This is my question, and then I'll go into a little detail what's going on.
Okay.
I need help in to figure out what would be my next step to get my husband to connect or to make a decision on how to move forward. What's going on is he's so disconnected. We have been married 20 years, and 15 of those years, he do not want any intimacy, almost not even wanting to hold a hand.
You know why? Any idea why?
No, none whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I do not. I have tried everything to get him to communicate and to get him to go get help. And okay. I just get a lot of lies and broken promises.
Mm. So he has been stuck for how many years?
At least 15. It could have been a little
more,
but I did not see the warning signs.
Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Mylon and Chris, but real quickly, why are you, after 15 years now, asking for help? I'm just curious what's motivating it now.
You know, I'm going to do better. You know, I'm going to stop wasting money. I know I've wasted money. You know, I'm going to help around the house, or I'm going to help with repairs, and nothing really never been put in motion.
All right.
So I'm
hold
going
on.
To do this.
Okay, hold on, and let us see if we can give you some help. What do you guys, 15 years of holding on.
That's a long time. Carla's got some serious perseverance here, and I'm not sure it's always the right kind of perseverance. We tolerate a lot of intolerable things for, I think, sometimes way too long. However, there are so many reasons why a husband or anyone will shut down and will withdraw. I got to tell you what I see most commonly in marriages is that a lot of times we shut down because there is a secret. There is, we talked about earlier in the show with Larry, there is shame. There is something about me that I feel intolerable and I can't share or show with someone else. And so I think he wants to do it, but I don't think he knows how to get to himself. Your husband is first and foremost disconnected with himself before he's disconnected with anyone else. So, Carla, you're right. He's got to go to work on himself. However, I'm just throwing money and resources at the right thing in the right direction is critically important. I'm just thinking, hey, this Saturday, intimacy and marriage is the place to start.
Yeah, it could really help. Mylon, your thoughts here.
Carla, is this a second marriage for you?
It is.
Okay.
How did you know that? Yes.
Well, I've just talked to a few people.
He's a walking genius.
Well, I'm not a walking genius.
Brilliant.
Well, no, here's the reason. Many times when we're dating, we don't see reality. And I would suggest, Carla, that your husband has learned to shut down and be emotionally avoidant before he ever met you. But when he first met you, he turned on the charm because at some level he was excited And we have that initial enthusiasm in the relationship, and we think that is how the relationship will be. Odds are he – and they're very high odds, by the way. I'm not a gambling person, but he shut down a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And the way I describe what's going on with your husband is a long time ago he – what happened was is he learned that others don't matter, or I don't consider others very much. I call it a learned otherlessness. I don't consider others. Good. I don't consider others well. And so there's a really an orientation that says other didn't really take good care of me as a child, so I learned to be self-sufficient by myself. And so I'd really want to explore his history and help him understand how his history has taught him a learned otherlessness. He doesn't consider, he doesn't see, he doesn't imagine, he doesn't anticipate you, Carla. And that's sad. But he
it
could,
really is.
He could learn it.
And here's
very
the
hurtful.
Yes, okay. It's hurtful, yes. Of course.
And there's so many things that can be done. You know, I mean, there's testing, hormonal imbalances. It could be depression. All sorts of things are there, but you have to be willing to get help. So I would, I mean, how, what's the best thing? I'd just say, honey, the least you could do after all these years is go to this every this intimacy and marriage mm-hmm. weekend with me. If you could just do that, I would feel so good about everything. If you can't, man, how sad that is. And you know, here's the thing. Here's the sad thing. Marriage, sexual intimacy is meant for marriage, and there's something that happens in sexual intimacy that doesn't happen any other way. There are chemicals released. Also, yep. I was talking to my wife. You know, people talk about love language. My love language is Misty. I just, you know what? That's the only thing. I'm bilingual, Misty. Whatever language she's speaking, I can understand it. And so, but if you don't have the sexual intimacy, there's a level of connection that you're missing. When you're resisting all of that for 15 years, oh my goodness, what a waste. So I am hoping that just you saying this to him, let's go, let's do it this weekend, he's going to do it. It could change everything. That's how dramatic the changes are when you come to intimacy and marriage. I'm going to send her How We Love and the workbook. Mylon Kay wrote that book, and it has changed not just marriages, but the way that some people practice their therapy and their counseling mm-hmm. in their private practices. Now, if you need some help, we want you to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Financially, we need your help. You know, finances aren't bumping heaven for a lot of people. And if you're doing all right, if you could step in and help us with the folks. I heard today that this shutdown of all everything just has made poor people poorer. Isn't that sad? Mm-hmm. Isn't that sad? Mm-hmm. And so if you're not affected by that, please come along, because a lot of our support comes from poor people who just want to support people being transformed. If you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you need some help, come join us for Intimacy and Marriage, 1-800-229-3000.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.